Glorious is thy name, O Lord. And while we're here, our job on earth is not finished. And may the Holy Spirit fall afresh on each of us and bless us in an exceptional way today. In your bulletin, you found a copy of my outline, and I've passed a few over here. I gave them to the young people. I want you to have them especially. And they're not to make paper airplanes. Really, I have two purposes in this outline. Number one, you can follow me and make notes if you wish. Second, you can refer to it this afternoon and tomorrow and next week. And somehow or other, hopefully, the message will keep on living. You see, some of you realize and some of you don't, but when you stand up here, it is an awesome, and I use that in the most meaningful way, it is an awesome responsibility because I must take this Word of God by the grace of God and try to make it applicable to our everyday life. In other words, I'm not up here to exercise my vocal cords. I'm not up here to get my daily exercise. I'm up here to be the instrument of God's blessing to you. And then, like I say, not only for today, but a continuing thing. So I want to lead into this by calling your attention just a couple things. Number one, some of you are scientifically minded. And so you've been following about the Mars rover by the name of Curiosity. I understand that the cost for that is $2.5 billion. That is B as in Brenneman, not M as in Miller. $1 billion. Now, believe me, people, that's beyond my comprehension. $2.5 billion. Well, let's come closer home. I mean, a lot closer home than billions and Mars. And that is, some of you have gotten, probably last week or recently, in your mailbox, the current issue of the Fellowship of FCM Informer for June and July. And I found in there some real interesting statistics, an article by Merle Burkholder. Listen to this. North American Anabaptists are among the wealthiest people of the world. Did you get that? North American Anabaptists. Okay, try again. North American Baptists are among the wealthiest people of the world. And they give two interesting statistics that can apply to us. Assets of $2,200 per adult. That's not income. That's assets. That's what you have that's worth something. Assets of $2,200 per adult placed a household in the top 50% of the world's wealthiest households. Top 50% of the world's wealthiest households. Assets of $61,000 per adult. And thankfully, some of us come in that category. In fact, I hope a lot of us come in that category. There might be some of you young people who have college debts, and you have more debts than that. But anyway, assets of $61,000 per adult placed a household in the top 10%. Top 10% of the world's wealthiest household. Now, I'm not talking only about money this morning, but I am going to be talking about the whole subject of stewardship. And my title is Serious Stewardship. And I invite you to follow in the scripture, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. First Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 15. First Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. If you go back to the previous chapter, there'll be a couple interesting things there. The context is David's deep concern for the building of the temple. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 28, verses 2 and 3, verse 3, God said unto me, Thou shalt not build. No, was God's answer to David's very desirable plan. Build a house for God. God said no. So we follow on here, and then in verse 5, David talks about all my sons. God has chosen Solomon. Now, we don't know why, but I suppose in the wisdom that God gave David, he saw something in Solomon that was beyond the other boys that he had. And so Solomon was God's sovereign choice for the kingdom. And then we have down through in chapter 29, the first verses, the gifts for building the temple, various kinds of things. They for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. This kind of thing down through it. So we come now to the passage that I read. What we have is a tremendously practical subject because it touches all of us in various areas of life. I mean all of us in various areas of life. And we're going to deal with that as we go along. I'll try to make it practical. And so my first point is a proper concept of God. A proper concept of God. Verse 10. Thine, well, pardon me, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Or verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Verse 13, how therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. God's praise, the glory and the honor that belongs to God, the praising God for who he is and what he has done and is doing, is an excellent starting point for the concept of biblical Christian stewardship. Call it worldview, call it philosophy of life, whatever you want, but where do you start? Well, you start by a proper concept of God. And involved in that is God's praise. We give him praise. We glorify him. And part of that relates to God's majesty. Verse 11, first part, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. See, greatness, power, glory, victory, majesty. It relates to the whole power of a sovereign. And God, Almighty God, is worthy of that. I could take time, and I won't, to turn to Psalm 145. Again, it's something about the majesty of God. Our view of God sometimes is too small. So something about the majesty. Psalm 145, 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty. Verse 12, Psalm 145, to make known the glorious majesty of this kingdom. Now we need a balance between this concept of the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God and His mercy and His love and His compassion. We sang this morning about His grace. A powerful theme, a theme we dare never forget. Marvelous grace, the wonderful grace of God. Now, how do we balance between this whole idea of God's majesty and His mercy, between His holiness and His law? Well, it's part of this. We're talking about the proper concept of God and dealing with not only His praise, but awareness of His majesty. Another aspect of this is the whole concept of God's ownership. Verse 11, last part. The whole idea of God, all is thine. See, this is the foundation of biblical stewardship. All is thine. It's the reason for radical discipleship. Some of you in the past have gotten the tract. Others may, you cannot. Young people, if you don't have a copy, you ought to have a copy. You ought to refer to it. Others may, you cannot. Why? Because you're committed to Jesus Christ. And some of the things that people get, some of the things that people do, you can't do because your commitment to the Lord Jesus. This is radical discipleship. This is the foundation for biblical stewardship. We sing sometimes, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. So, part of this whole concept of God is His ownership. And then the whole thing of His exaltation. We carry around in our pockets these coins. Good, well, that's up to question. But anyhow, good for what to buy now. But they have on it this great concept, in God we trust. That's beautiful theory, but when it comes to practicality, how much as a nation are we trusting in God? Anyhow, He is to be exalted. And so for us, a proper concept of God is the starting place. We move on then to a proper concept of ourselves. 14a. Who am I? That's a question that every last one of us must answer. Who am I? And along with that, why am I here? But who am I? Am I the result of blob of protoplasm evolving over millions of years and now I am what I am? Or am I created in the image of God? And I submit to you that I am a living spirit and a living soul, and I have a body. And out of it, there's the Lord's going to use for His glory. But the thing that we need to wrestle with is this whole concept of ourselves. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, something happened. And if you don't have that, if you've been baptized a dozen times and taken communion a dozen times, you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you're missing it. You've missed it entirely. It is this relationship. Sinner saved by grace. That's the one. Sinner saved by grace. And we come to that with no boasting. That is, I can't come to you and say, oh, my name is so-and-so, my IQ is this, I've achieved this, I have this degree and all that stuff. Nothing, absolutely nothing that we can read. Only a sinner saved by grace. Now we need to balance that by this great thing that I am redeemed by grace. I am a child of the King, a child of the King of glory. Let's keep those two in balance. And when we do, we will appreciate the grace of God and we will walk with our Savior. A proper concept of ourselves, sinners redeemed by grace and made a child of the King. Come now to the third area, and that is a proper concept of time. Too soon old, too late smart. Well, that applies to most of us, I think. We'll all say that. Our days on earth are as a shadow, verse 15. Deo volente, James 4:15. If the Lord will, we shall do this and that. I like the thought of Psalm 39, verse 4, that I may know how frail I am. That I may know how frail I am. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. Psalm 90:12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor. Now we face a real problem. I mean a real problem. How can we balance work, necessary sleep, and there's an area where some of us don't get what we ought to have, necessary sleep, personal devotions, family needs, and Christian service. 24 hours, 7 days a week, 168 hours in a week, but we can't get everything done that we'd like to get done. How do we work this out? I don't have the answer, but we do need a commitment here. In your mailbox, and for those of you who don't have a mailbox, there are additional copies of this out on the foyer. Know your time limits. I came across this earlier this year in Time magazine. You'll never, get the word, you'll never have all the time you need to achieve your goals. Wow. You'll never have all the time you need to achieve your goals. So set realistic targets within a realistic schedule. I think it's very, very practical. Are you with me? You see, my perspective is entirely different from most people except a few people up here. My perspective, I have passed God's allotted scriptural time. I have gone beyond 70. I've gone beyond 80. Folks, my time is running out. I know it. I know it. I realize it. This may be the last sermon that I ever preach because my time is running out. I was 87 back July 29th. The Lord has been so good to me that I've been blessed as I have. But my time is running out. Time, our perspective of time, so significant. God grant us a proper concept of time and of the opportunities that we have because we have time. The fourth point is a proper concept of possessions, verses 12 through 14. All things come of thee. And one of the things we notice in here is riches, money, and tangible property. I don't know how many of you know it, but I'm going to inform you. My wife and I are rich. My wife and I are rich. We own two cars. Two of them. Two cars. And they're both paid for. One's in her name and the other's in mine. We're rich. And so are you. We're riches. Riches, all things come of thee. Honor, non-tangible areas. Things like positions, achievements, recognition. Some of you work for an organization that might once a month have employee of the month. You get picked. That's recognition. That's non-tangible. It's just an honor, a blessing. Or might be something like master farmer or something like that. For those of you in the southern end, 25 years ago this year, I retired as teacher from George Smith Middle School. 25 years ago. Wow. Anyhow, sometime after that, they wanted to honor some of the retired teachers, and so they planted trees in our honor. And the one they put for Mr. Brenneman was down near the flagpole, right in front of the building. You know what? That tree died before I did. Honor, non-tangible, those things disappear. I would call your attention to a verse. Many of you are familiar with it, and those of you aren't, please get familiar with it. Luke 12:15. Double warning, tremendous warning. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Man's life consists not of the abundance of things. And Mark, I thank you for considering our persecuted brothers around the world. We need to remember them. We need to remember them daily. The individuals that don't have what we do on that. But this graphic warning, take heed and beware of what can grip us as far as possession. And I'd like to move now into a number of practical aspects regarding possessions. Number one, aim for increased giving. Your tithing is a starting point. A tithe is what we owe God for the privilege of cluttering up his earth. That's a starting point. Then when we give on 2 Corinthians 9:7-8, God loves a cheerful giver. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. An unknown author put it this way. Give as you would if an angel awaited your gift at the door. Give as you would if tomorrow found you were giving was o'er. Give as you would to the master if you met his loving look. Give as you would of your substance if his hand your offering took. And I am tremendously impressed by an opportunity. And I mean this is an opportunity. A lot of you are on Christian Aid's mailing list, and you received something about Project Reach China. Listen to this. This is a tremendous opportunity. We can print a full-color 25 favorite stories from the Bible in China for only 25 cents. 25 cents. 25 cents. Two of them will get you one postage stamp. But 25 cents. Boys and girls, I have a job for you. I have a challenge for you. I want you to get interested in China. I want you to think what God can do through you in China. Now, you know China's a pretty big country, and we're amazed at what the Holy Spirit has been doing in China. There's a lot of Christians there. But there's a lot of people there who don't know the Lord, boys and girls. See if you can arrange something with your parents. Get some kind of a special project and ask them, can I do something to earn a quarter? And when you earn a quarter, you bring that quarter to church, and I don't have permission to do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Bring that. I want I want to see this congregation raise some money for these booklets in China. Think what the Spirit of God can do. 25 cents for one booklet. Opportunities. It'll be up here somewhere. This afternoon, after lunch, before lunch, bring a quarter up. Do something to help to reach China. I'm talking about opportunities. Another thing, in practical area, ponder our transportation needs. A car is a major budget item for many of us. But what do our vehicles tell society about our sense of biblical stewardship? I'm wondering, what would you have thought if Eleanor and I drove in this morning in a new Jaguar? A new Jaguar! You'd say, I think he needs to see a man by the name of E. Daniel Martin, who's a psychiatrist. And yes, if we did. But anyhow, what do our vehicles tell society about our commitment to Jesus Christ? We deal with this whole subject. Is it a basic thing of leasing a car or buying a car? Do you buy a new car or a pre-owned car? Or that whole area of transportation. A third area, houses. Do I need a $300,000 house to provide me for my housing needs? What about our commitment? What about the impact on the community? Food and clothing. Why do we have so many rich desserts at our fellowship meals? Oh, they're good. Sure they are. They're good. They show on some of us too. But anyhow, how much do we spend on fancy frills and clothing? Designer jeans, neckties, all of that. By the way, brothers, don't throw away your dress suits. I invite you to come dressed in a suit when the time comes for you to attend my funeral. But anyhow, food and clothing, that whole area. Budgeting, very practically, helps us to avoid impulse buying. George, right? Okay, George. Pinch George. Young people, adults, pinch George. Hold on to it. In other words, don't spend every dollar as fast as you get it. Pinch it. Hold on to it. It's a lesson for all of us to learn, a very, very practical lesson. Don't spend as fast as you get it. Hold on to it. Pinch George. It's part of budgeting. Wise investing. Young families, don't depend on Social Security for the future. It may be around. It might not be. Insurance. Billboard. It's insured, but is it fully covered? Now, wait a minute, fully covered. You can spend a tremendous amount on insurance and so on. Last Sunday, my wife and I were up at Hershey Rehab Hospital. We visited my niece, who has been in general hospitals or rehab hospitals for over 4 months. That is going to be a horrendous bill on overall. We need something for all of us. I suggest we need major medical coverage for the catastrophic things that do happen on that. Number 8, credit card purchases. How many calls, how many letters do you get offering you a credit card? Well, just this past week, my wife got one. They want you to have a credit card. Almost a necessity. Very handy, but very dangerous. Very dangerous if not controlled. and you need to, if you can't master it, cut it up. Talk to the counselors about that. But anyhow, the whole area, credit card, I'm talking about practical aspects as it relates to possessions. Soil conservation, I'm curious, how much quality topsoil have we lost on our farms in Lancaster County since our forefathers first settled here? I don't know. I wish I did know. But there's a lot of it went down into the Conestoga, into the Susquehanna, and into the Chesapeake Bay. A lot of good topsoil. Story given a son who inherited a farm from his father. After looking it over, he said to his father, "Here's the farm, but where is the soil?" Good question. I would commend those of you who are involved with no-till farming. I think that's a move in the right direction for soil conservation. A proper estate planning, the idea of an up-to-date will. Make plans so that if you are a farmer, if you are in a business, that the family can continue it to operate after you're gone, and so that the government gets as little as possible. In conclusion, biblical stewardship begins with receiving the grace of God, not in what we give. In receiving the grace of God, we live in response to God's love shown in Christ. We sing, "Love so amazing, so divine, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." When we capture something of this deeper sense of the majesty of God and our total dependence upon Him, then our time and our things are put in proper perspective. There's a man by the name of Wendell Nance that said this: make all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and stay busy working. Make all you can. We say, amen. Save all you can. Amen. Give all you can. Not so much of an amen then, huh? And stay busy working. If you want to be rich, give. If you want to be poor, grasp. If you want abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Savior's blood. Thank you for the many, many blessings that you showered upon us. And now, O Lord, we commit this service to you. We commit this message to you. Lord, use it for the praise of your glory. Help us that we may leave here different than when we came in because of the truths of your word. Guard us and guide us. We pray your blessing upon our nation. We pray your blessing upon the coming election, that your sovereign will be done so that your people might live for your glory and praise. Guard and keep us under the blood, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.